This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Welcome to What's Eric Eating, Culture Map's weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. I have Warren Luckett from Black Restaurant Week coming up in a little bit. But first, before I introduce my co-host this week, I just want to thank everybody who listens to the show every week. I noticed recently that we have about 45 reviews on Apple Podcasts. I think that's pretty good. Like to get that number to 50. So if you haven't had a chance to review us on Apple Podcasts, please do so. I steal a line from Katie Nolan, only if it's 5 stars, only if it's nice. But you are always welcome to email me your feedback, good, bad, or indifferent, Eric, E-R-I-C, at culturemap.com. And of course, if you're new to the show, thanks for being here. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. So if you're listening through one of those apps, you know how to subscribe, please do so. We really appreciate it. I am joined by my co-host this week. She is a beverage specialist who has consulted on the cocktail menus for a number of successful bars and restaurants. Linda Salinas, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm good. What a mouthful.
What a mouthful. But we got to tell the people. We're trying to grow this thing just a little bit. I love this audience. I just wish it were slightly bigger. So tell a friend.
Tell a friend.
All right, Linda, we have a lot to discuss. So let us dive right into the news of the week. Topic number one, I'm just going to be blunt here. There are a shitload of new restaurants that are going to open this year.
Yeah.
Let's talk about 4 of them, all of which have been announced in the last week or so, starting with Chris Shepherd, the James Beard Award winner behind Georgia James, UB Preserve, Hay Merchant, 1/5, announced that he will open a new restaurant dedicated to live fire cooking in Regent Square. This is one of the new mixed-use developments coming to Allen Parkway at the intersection of Dunleavy. Linda, Chris has already announced he's opening Wild Oats in the Houston Farmers Market with his chef Nick Fine, and Georgia James Tavern, a more casual version of a steakhouse in the Market Square Tower downtown. So set himself up for a pretty busy 2021. What do you think about Chris Shepherd cooking with live fire in a fancy pants mixed use development?
I mean, stay golden, pony boy. I mean, they just keep cranking stuff, you know? Just really knowing and understanding that they do everything very well. I mean, everyone on those teams. But what else is going to be around them in that complex?
Well, there's like several hundred apartments, so they have a built-in kind of base of residential support. There are 2 other restaurants coming. The real estate developer has not announced what they will be. My one other thought about Underbelly Hospitality, of course, is that 1/5 is closing at the end of the summer. The 5-year experiment is coming to an end. And so you're going to have chefs, cooks, front of house people, bartenders, all of which are going to presumably need new jobs. And you probably want to hold on to that talent. And so redeploying them either to Wild Oats or to this Live Fire restaurant seems like a good way to do that.
Well, I think it's also interesting that it used to be people liked going to the same restaurants and become regulars. And in the past, but now I think just in general, because of the way that restaurants come and go, is that I think that him always opening new things keeps people coming back, you know, unless you're an institution like, you know, Ninfa's or, you know, something that is just always the same. I think that it's smart to constantly be reinventing yourself. And the staff, I think a lot of us in beverage, in food, in hospitality, like new things, new dishes, new movements in, you know, in our spaces. So I'm very welcome to all that.
No, absolutely. And I think part of the interesting explanation for this is that Chris has been cooking at home a lot more, right, during the shutdown. And he, you know, he has a smoker and he has a grill and he has this and he has that. And it just kind of got him entranced by this idea of Live Fire cooking. And I'm really curious to see like what him and his team kind of do with all that. Cause I think, you know, we like smoky flavors here in Texas, and for him to kind of put his spin on that, you know, not in a barbecue context, but just in a, you know, grilled meat, roasted, whatever kind of milieu. I think that's really interesting. I think that's going to be really delicious.
Yes.
Okay. Let us move on to topic number or new restaurant two. Ben Berg, who has also announced that he's opening two new restaurants, is actually opening a third, Nopo Cafe Market and Bar. Nopo refers to North Post Oak, which is to say like a little kind of neighborhood with a bunch of apartments that's sort of west of Timber Grove, north of the Galleria, and east of Spring Branch. I was sort of joking with my editor, you could call it Audi International Heights after the private school that's right there. And instead of Nopo, but that's what they're calling it. This is an all-day cafe concept, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And he has hired Chef Jose Hernandez, formerly of Lucien, formerly of Trinity, formerly of Etoile, to be his culinary director and develop the menu for this. Now, Linda, I know that you did some consulting and some work with Lucien. So talk to me about Jose Hernandez and kind of what you think of this fit between Ben Berg and the chef.
I mean, honestly, I think it's a great fit. He actually has been running that he ran that hotel for the Valencia group. And so he really understands the change from morning, lunch, dinner, you know, from beautiful croissants in the morning to, you know, refreshing salads, and then going into like a really beautiful service at night. So having that breadth of what a boutique hotel is and now into a space where people come through, I think this is a perfect fit for him. He's also one of the nicest guys ever. I did a cocktail class at the hotel, and I would always swing through right before dinner service and do this cocktail class. And what I love so much about walking in there is that chef would always have family meal for the staff. I mean, that not everyone does that anymore. And so, you know, I was just coming into setting up for my bar and my class. And I just remember him coming. He's like, Linda, you're here, your family, sit down, eat with us, grab a sandwich, or I made this soup today, or, you know, so on and so forth. So I'm really excited to see what they've got going on. And I mean, honestly, it's refreshing to see that the Berg Hospitality Group is constantly giving vision to whoever's working, you know, under these concepts. You know, every concept has, I think, has done very well because there's a lot of, you know, nice movement within these spaces. So I'm excited to see what they've got going on.
Right. No, I agree with all of that. I think Jose is very talented. Particularly, you know, I mean, I thought the food at Lucienne was good. I liked his work at Radio Milano actually before that. You know, hidden away a little bit in that downtown hotel, Alessandra. So this kind of gives him a more prominent stage, and he'll be reworking certainly the pastries at all of the Berg Hospitality concepts, which I think is pretty exciting because, you know, Jose's tarte tatin, if for no other dish, is the best tarte tatin. And so I know that he'll bring that kind of talent and technique to everything else that he's doing for them. So yeah, I think this is a really interesting fit and an interesting concept for Berg Hospitality, which, you know, is kind of sit down a little fancier. This is going to be counter service, you know, in the morning and in the afternoon. You know, it'll be a little more affordable. I'm curious to see how this develops because it definitely seems like the sort of concept that could go multi-unit if that is what they want to do. All right. New restaurant number three, Bex Prime president Molly Voorhees and real estate executive Carolyn Doros, childhood friends and graduates both of St. John's School, are teaming up to open Agnes, a Mediterranean-inspired all-day cafe in the former Tropicalis space in Boulevard Oaks. I had the chance to meet with Molly and Carolyn, and they have a really clear vision for this. You know, it's partially inspired by restaurants they've been to where they've traveled. It's partially inspired by restaurants that they loved in the cities where they attended college and graduate school. So it's just this kind of interesting concept. And I really think that it seems like it's very, you know, this is Molly's neighborhood. So she essentially told me she walked past this space during COVID and her neighbors kept bugging her to open something. And so she said, all right, if you invest in this, I'll open a restaurant. So she got a whole bunch of them to give her money to make this happen.
Interesting. And
I think it's really an interesting kind of, you know, coffees and pastry in the morning, salads and sandwiches at lunch, and then like kind of bistro, you know, steak frites, roast chicken, all that kind of stuff at dinner. Could be a really interesting fit for that neighborhood.
Interesting. I'd like to see the space reworked.
Yeah, well, they're working with the guys who did the lighting for Nancy's Hustle.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's the best lighting. Unless you're trying to take pictures of food with your phone and then it's the worst lighting. But in terms of like an inviting atmosphere and like a romantic glow, it's the best lighting.
I mean, I'd really like to see Brittany, you know, style those rooms from Nancy's and Littlefoot. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, I think it's one of my concern, but like parking, you know, beverage, what is that going to look like? You know, what is that service going to look like?
Right. Parking is clearly the biggest challenge with that building.
Yeah.
You know, they're counting on the neighborhood to support it, right? Their vision is that people will walk or ride bikes or whatever, and that it'll be kind of this kind of cute little neighborhood spot. And obviously some people will come from slightly farther away and they'll need to park, but that's the vision. Now, whether they achieve that or not, I hard to predict, but.
Well, we'll just see what happens when they open up.
Absolutely. All right. And then new restaurant number four, we're traveling all the way to Las Vegas because the Blood Brothers are opening in a food hall. They are opening in Famous Food Street Eats, a new food hall at the Resorts World Las Vegas Hotel and Casino Complex. They are in very prestigious company. Their little barbecue stand is going to be right next to a fried chicken joint from celebrity chef Marcus Samuelson. And the hotel has recruited a whole bunch of these like Michelin rated hawker stands from different countries throughout Asia. Steve Aoki, the music producer, is opening a restaurant there. I mean, this is like a big deal and a very interesting opportunity for the Blood Brothers.
I am so excited for those guys. That is awesome. I hope they do their Thai green boudin. I hope they do all of their like wacky fun stuff. Cause like, I love those guys. I champion for them. I am so ecstatic for them. Thank goodness. Come on up, boys.
Yeah, no, this is a nice synergy of good things happening to great people.
Oh yeah.
You know, because it's not that long ago that they were doing pop-ups at like Buffalo Bayou Brewing Company or Glitter Karaoke or wherever. You know, they were this kind of underground sensation. You know, they open that restaurant, it takes off, it gets all this national press. And I mean, what happened is they explain it is that Chris Cosentino's business partner visited the restaurant when he was here in Houston and thought that it would be a great fit for that food hall. And he's one of the people recruiting concepts to the food hall. So that's how it all.
That's awesome.
And I just think it's just an interesting opportunity for them. And to your point, what makes Blood Brothers really fun to eat at are the specials, right? The Goju Junk pork ribs, the turkey banh mi, the Thai curry boudin, all that stuff. So they're gonna do a little bit of that, but they're also gonna just do like Texas Trinity in a, you know, part of the world where there really isn't a lot of traditional Texas barbecues.
So hell yeah,
I think it's an interesting fit, and this is a massive, like an utterly massive, like $4.3 billion project overall, the hotel and the casino and the resorts and the shows and the restaurants. So, you know, certainly they'll get every opportunity to succeed there. And if they do a good job, there's other Resorts World properties around the world. So
hell yeah,
could be Blood Brothers International. And then one more new thing to talk about to wrap up the news of the week, Night Moves Hospitality, a new group that unites former Monkey's Tail bartender Greg Perez with Chef Lyle Bento, who we know from Southern Goods and Underbelly and a whole bunch of other places. They have pretty ambitious plans. They've already announced two new concepts. One is called Space Cowboy that's coming to the Heights House Hotel. And another is the Trash Panda Drinking Club, which is coming to the former Edison and Patton. And they say they have two more things in the works, but they're not quite ready to talk about them yet. Now, Linda, when I talked to Lyle about joining up with Greg Perez, he said that you were the link that connected them. So let me throw it to you, Grand Connector. What made you decide to introduce Lyle to Greg and kind of what do you...
Well, first off...
Patience for hospitality.
Look, listen to me. I love going to Real and hanging out and having delicious snacks and talking to Ryan. And I saw Lyle was moonlighting there. And I was like, Lyle, what are you doing? Well, what's going on? You need to be busy with doing something. And so he's like, oh, I'm kind of working on some things, da 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 da. And so when I heard, I'd been driving by the Heights Houston Hotel, and I did some inspectigating, found out who was going to be opening it. And I just happened to be somewhere, somehow, and someone asked, you know, hey, do you know anyone that can open multiple concepts with a couple of different, like, that could do the job? And first thing I thought was, Lyle Bento needs to get busy. So that's how it all happened. I don't know. I mean, you and I talk to people all the time, and there's nothing better than knowing that, like, this is going to be a good fit. Knowing that this is going to work, or at least give people options for other opportunities. Cause I mean, Greg has worked at Calle Once, or opened up Calle Once. You know, the program at Monkey's Tail was great. Those programs have done very well. And so I think that they just needed to find someone that could bring up, you know, the food portion of like this next set of concepts. So I'm excited for them. They're going to be doing, what is it? Hawaiian food at the.
Yeah, no, I think Space Cowboy is very interesting to me because, you know, Lyle grew up in Hawaii. And so it's going to be very tropical, right? Some Hawaiian stuff. He's like maybe some stuff from the Philippines, some stuff from Fiji. I just thought I think that's really appealing. It sounds a little bit like what they're doing at Toasted Coconut, but maybe without like the Szechuan flavors.
Right? Yeah. Like, and guess what? These guys have a pool on property.
Yes. Yeah. No glass at Space Cowboy, because they want you to be able to take all of the food and all of the drinks poolside. So I think that's going to be, I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And Lyle certainly sounds really excited about it.
Yeah.
And actually, and Greg will be on the podcast next week. So they'll get the chance. We'll get to learn a little more about kind of how this came together and what their vision is on next week's show. And, you know, him making Southern food obviously is, you know, good news for everybody. I love Southern goods.
Everyone loves Southern goods.
So yeah, trash. And, you know, just calling a restaurant or a bar Trash Panda is hilarious.
I think it's fantastic.
There is a raccoon. I'm told that there is a raccoon mascot. So I'm sure there will be t-shirts and hats and all kinds of other swag, koozies with the Trash Panda on.
It's very, very good branding.
It is. All right, Linda, that does it for the news of the week. We'll be right back with our restaurant of the week. Stick around. Linda, for our restaurant of the week, I want to talk to you about Tiny Champions. This is the new pizza and pasta spot from the partners behind Nancy's Hustle, which is to say Chef Jason Vaughn, pastry chef Julia Doran, and beverage guy Sean Jensen. Plus, they got Tony Lampardi, who's from New Orleans and worked at Two-Headed Dog. He's kind of running the bar program over there. So it's Bridget Palawoda, who we know from Theodore Rex, is working the floor. There's just a ton of talent, front of the house, back of the house, et cetera, all kind of making this place go. Linda, we had a pretty good dinner at Tiny Champions, but let me just throw it to you. Kind of what are your thoughts?
I'm a big fan of almost everything that they do there. I think it is some of the best pizza in Houston. And I know that it's very good pizza when Anthony Calio from Pie Pizza, formerly of Pie Pizza and now Rudyard's, calls me and says, "Stop playing. It's good there. I don't know why you haven't been there yet." So, yeah.
You know, I don't know if the prominent local chef who told me that it's become his pizza takeout go-to wants me to say his name, but yes, the buzz on the pizza is very good. And I agree with you. I think the pizza was excellent. The crust had a good flavor, a nice chew. They got the right amount of char on it. Sauce is flavorful, not too sweet. We got the sausage pie. You can get all those fun little sauces, whether it's ranch or garlic chili oil or whatever to modify. No, this is a very good pizza. It's not crazy money. I mean, they're under $20 for a pretty decent sized pie that fed three of us pretty happily.
And all the other little snacks, the fried mussels and the crudo. Like, I love the fact that they have other flavors and textures that are not just another carby thing, you know.
Right. Shaved mussels under a mountain of Parmesan cheese. I mean, what's not to like?
Yeah. Shaved mushrooms.
And a really great, you know, that carrot sherbet sundae.
Oh,
it's like, it's sweet, and you get the toasted meringue and the toasted pepitas for a little crunch.
The pepitas.
That is a really smart, flavorful dessert.
And so
that,
good.
That made me really happy. I had a daiquiri. I mean, you know, obviously it's a classic cocktail. It was well executed. It was very tasty. We had a shrub that I liked more than you did, because I kind of like that finish.
You know, but, and you know what's funny is I'm a beverage person. I taste drinks all the time. I make them all the time. I think I've just decided I don't like shrub drinks. I've had three shrub drinks in Texas in the last like month. And every time I'm like, oh, yes, give me that. And then I'm like, I just, it's not that it wasn't good. It's just to not, it's like blue cheese. I don't like blue cheese. I don't like Spanish olives, you know, and this, those just drinks that they're flavors that they're just not my thing right now. Unless someone wants to change my mind. Cool. But like, I don't have to like everything. So,
no, you don't. You don't have to like everything. And that includes shrubs. The other thing that maybe, like, again, pizza was outstanding. That tuna crudo was delicious. We finished all of that. I think the muscle nuggets, the little fried muscle nuggets with the aioli are really fun, smart. It's a different preparation. We've had a million steamed mussels all over the city. Frying them is fun. It's like a nice alternative to fried oysters. Only thing that kind of missed for me was that pasta with the braised lamb, which I thought I was really going to like. And I just wanted like a little more something from the sauce, either spice or richness or acidity or something. Cause it just, that one dish didn't quite come together for me. Which is like nothing that would keep me from going back there, but just like, you know, when you order a whole bunch of stuff, something is going to be the least favorite dish of the night. And so for me, it was that braised lamb pasta.
Yeah. I mean, overall it was so good. So kudos to them.
So you'll go back.
Duh. It's my favorite, like my favorite people in hospitality. Like, and it's funny, like I was talking to someone and I was like, gosh, if they carried more of my stuff, I could be here all the time. But you know what? I'll still go and support them. Cause I love that gang. And Nancy's Hustle's about to roll out new dishes and they have a back patio. So Lord, I'm telling you, they're just trying to keep my money.
Making moves and taking names and kicking butt. We need a name for that hospitality group. Cause now they have two restaurants. Until they tell me that they have a name, I'm going to call it the same name that they have given the Tiny Champions Instagram, which is Giant Losers. So they are Giant Losers Hospitality until they tell me not to call them that.
That's great. I love it.
All right, Linda, that does it for the restaurant of the week. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, gang.
And I'll be right back with Warren Luckett. I am joined this week by one of the founders of Black Restaurant Week, which starts this Thursday here in Houston. Warren Luckett, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Eric. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. I mean, I know this has been going on for a while now. I want to say since like 2016.
Yes.
Can we just kind of start at the beginning? Like, what is your background and kind of how did you make this decision to start Black Restaurant Week?
Yeah, my background is I'm a Houstonian. I was born here, had an opportunity to kind of move back here towards the end of high school and the end of college, and just have always had a love of the city of Houston. You know, it was afforded an opportunity to kind of spend some time in South Africa growing up, which really kind of honed in on my love for just different cultures and places around the world, people from around the world, because South Africa was really a melting pot. And so just even growing up, there was a lot of commonality and similarities between, say, a South Africa and even Houston, with it being such a diverse Mecca. And so as I got older, I always kind of kept that in the back of my head and something that always resonated with me. And so as I continued to want to pursue all my entrepreneurial passions, South Africa was always at the forefront, but Houston was always at the forefront as well. You know, spent time in New York. When I was in New York, used to throw these huge crawfish bowls because we used to love to bring the culture of Houston to Texas, from Texas to New York. And so that's always really been my passion. So 2016, a lot was going on culturally. The cultural climate was very similar to what was happening in 2000. 2020, where there was a lot of just injustice going on that we were seeing for Black Americans in the country. And it's always been hard to have a lot of racial conversations, but a place where it was always comfortable to have a lot of talk, even if it wasn't uncomfortable conversations, was always the dinner table. And so we wanted to really just use that tradition. Much respect to the late Miss Cleverly, but what she was able to build with Houston Restaurant Week, we wanted to do something similar with Black Restaurant Week, where we all had an opportunity to really just showcase the diversity of Houston in a kind of a more targeted way, and really have an opportunity to showcase the Black cuisine in Houston.
Right. So, like, maybe for people who aren't familiar with Black Restaurant Week, could you just sort of define like what it is and sort of how it works? Like, because like for Houston Restaurant Weeks, I mean, we know, you know, every restaurant that participates agrees to a certain minimum donation. They make it to the food bank, you know, like what is the, like, how do you sort of organize Black Restaurant Week and how do you sort of curate who participates?
You know, it started out, really very, very kind of similar almost to Houston Restaurant Week, where we were working with nonprofit organizations, the Change, a nonprofit organization, Farms organization, to donate a portion of the participation back to that nonprofit. But with us doing Black Restaurant Week, we also understood just the need that these restaurants had, and really understood that the restaurants were the really focal component of this model that we wanted to support. And so while it was also important to have that philanthropic component, it was really important for us to support the restaurant itself. And so that's really what we dug into with our model, is really trying to help the restaurant, but really to help the industry as a whole. And so where we differentiate is we also created a culinary showcase, which is NOSH, which is our Black food competition, for showcasing the different caterers around the city. We had our Soundbites Food Truck Festival that highlights all the different food truck components. And then we would do these pop-up dinners. But that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to really expand it from just showcasing just the restaurants to making it about the industry as a whole, showcasing the bartenders, showcasing the caterers, or showcasing the food trucks. So that was a way that we pivoted and really expanded our model. Now, how our model operates now, we don't even mandate that the restaurants participate with a prefix menu. Now we just ask them to offer a special. We want this, want our model to be as flexible as possible for as many different restaurants to participate. We have two different types of participation levels. We have our free registration that we encourage the majority of our restaurants to participate with. But then we also have a premium participation level for a small nominal fee that allows them to get a little bit more targeted marketing, higher placements on our website listings, as well as some additional plus ups throughout the campaign.
All right. So looking at Houston, right, how many restaurants, caterers, food trucks do you have lined up for this year?
This year, we're on pace to do 100 restaurants, food trucks, and caterers. So we're extremely thrilled with the growth of Houston. Houston has always been home for us. It's always been one of the largest campaigns. And so we're really excited to showcase just how much Houston has not only grown, but sustained throughout the pandemic.
Well, right. And I think it's sort of, you know, we could sort of think of maybe Black restaurants as being kind of focused around traditional, you know, Southern soul food, barbecue, but it's so much more diverse than that. And yeah. I think that's one of the things that BRW really showcases.
Oh, Eric, you're spot on. And that's what we love. We love showcasing the whole African diaspora. So that's the Caribbean restaurants. That's the African restaurants from around the city. So that's the Jollof Rices of the world to the reggae huts. There's just such an amazing and diverse participation throughout the year.
Do you have any, I know it's hard to pick a favorite or two, but do you have a couple of places you're really excited that are on the roster this year?
I am. We just signed up 13 today, which is James Harden's restaurant that just opened up. I think that's a really kind of cool concept, showcasing Chef Tobias's food over there. But I also love some of the staples, like This Is It. We had an opportunity in February to do our legacy series, which showcased Black-owned restaurant establishments that have been open for over 50 years. And This Is It is one of those. And it just goes to show that, you know, we have not only just diverse type of restaurants, but we also have this amazing legacy of restaurants in Houston that have really fed some amazing people over the years and over time.
Right. So, I mean, I don't want to stray too far from Houston, but you've taken this national.
Yes, we have taken a national. We're going to be in 15 markets this year. Last year we had we were blessed to do over 675 showcase 675 businesses throughout the country. You know, we're in New York, we're in Los Angeles. This year we're expanding internationally. We'll be in Toronto. We've already got a list of about 20 amazing restaurants in the Toronto area that we're going to be so excited to showcase. And that's our goal, is to continue to take this international and to showcase the culinary contributions of the diaspora really all over the world. But really remember that it all started at home. And we always wanted what this is, we want this to be to the food industry what the Essence Music Festival in our community was to music, right? Where folks from around the world know that you can come into New Orleans and you're going to get an amazing music experience. Well, that was how we really kind of started this with Houston, because we knew Houston had the food. We had the stories. We had the diversity of establishments, from the lounges to the bars, to the restaurants, to, you know, the Johnny Rose of the world, where you're getting this amazing, immaculate 13 seat, you know, dinner, you know, experience. We wanted to take that and really showcase that to the world.
Yeah. So I guess, obviously the pandemic has been very challenging for restaurants all over the world. What about BRW? I mean, how are you sort of responding to that? Because we're kind of right on the cusp of people feeling very comfortable dining in, but some people are still only doing to go.
Yeah.
Some people like outdoors, some people like indoors. Like, how are you accommodating all that?
Yeah. So last year we understood very early on that restaurants were deemed an essential business. And because they were deemed an essential business, they were going to be able to essentially stay open. And because of that, it was going to be more important than ever that our campaign tried to touch as many businesses as possible to market that these restaurants are still staying open. And so through our campaign, we encouraged the restaurants to highlight the delivery platforms, to highlight their different takeout menus. And we've had different business development seminars with some of the different platforms out there that are allowing these restaurants to consolidate their delivery platforms to one centralized hub. And now they can take orders from one platform. And so in addition to being a money campaign, we try to be a business development platform for these businesses as well, through some of the different corporate partners that we have, as well as some of the different business seminars and business panels that we hosted. Last year, we were also able to establish Feed the Soul Foundation. Eric, I know you asked me originally, you know, what was really kind of that philanthropic component that we're really driving. Well, now through the establishment of the Feed the Soul Foundation, we're going to be able to benefit more restaurants than ever. And so through our grant program, we're able to give our first cohort of businesses $10,000 cash grants in addition to consultation that's going to allow them to have menu development, to have bar program development, to have a nutritionist come in and really help develop their program. This is all coupled with our partnership with Amogee Bank, a local bank in Houston that's going to give them a financial development program. We're going to be working with different marketing partners that are going to help provide them with the tools to be successful with digital ads and the digital marketing that's really vital for these businesses to grow. In addition to the grant program, we also have our emergency relief fund. We're going to be giving out over $10,000 in stipends to businesses that have been affected by the winter storm that took place in Houston, Eric. So if there's any businesses that have been affected that are marginalized, we want them to register. We want them to apply for these grants. And then lastly, we're also going to have a an educational component, helping the future of the culinary industry, giving out scholarships to students at HBCU, scholarships to students of color that are in food programs, food and hospitality programs, providing them with mentorships as well as internships as well.
All right. That was a lot. And so I just want to just slow down and just break it down just a little bit. You talked about kind of business support and education for restaurant owners. How did you kind of recognize that there was a need and a desire among operators for that kind of assistance? And how did you sort of develop that program to help people grow their business?
So throughout the growth of the campaign, we've tried to kind of just take note of the things that that a lot of these businesses would need. We would onboard restaurants, you know, sometimes they wouldn't have a great website, or a lot of times, you know, when we would do press outreach, press then in return would ask for photos or food photos. And some of these food operators wouldn't have, you know, great food photos. And so we understood that there's just some components from a marketing standpoint and from a business development standpoint that were really missing. Oftentimes, a lot of these businesses are often looking for access to capital. And in addition to access to capital, we want to make sure that if they get the capital, that they're able to leverage it in the right ways to be sustainable.
And then how did you sort of develop a relationship with Amagie that's facilitating some of these programs?
So I had the opportunity of sitting on the board of the Greater Houston Black Chamber of Commerce, and through our partnership with the Chamber and Amagie Bank, some of the amazing things that they've done with the Black Chamber, we've been able to establish some great relationships. We were then able to reach out to Amagie. They were very interested in kind of taking part and really helping the Black business community grow here locally. And we were able to really put together a program that we're going to be very excited to roll out very soon.
Right. And then you've developed a number of sponsor relationships with this program, haven't you? I mean, this has become a pretty big deal.
Yes, no, it's very blessed, man. It's grace of God, man. We've been able to have some amazing partnerships. We've been able to partner with Pepsi, Grubhub, Bacardi, Anheuser-Busch, as well as Maker's Mark. Really just been able to come in and create some really unique partnerships that have allowed those wonderful corporations to showcase their commitment to the Black business community and to showcasing all these amazing professionals, whether it's the bartending competition where we're able to showcase the different cocktails through fun and interactive rounds of competition, to even some of the business development panels that we mentioned.
So, I mean, when a company like Pepsi or Anheuser-Busch or whatever comes to you, I mean, what are you sort of seeking from them? You know, because if they want access to your community, obviously they've got to give something up. So when you interact with them, like what's the balance between this is a valuable relationship that could be really productive for you, but you got to make sure that you get enough to make it worth the community's effort, I guess.
No, that's a great question. For us, we want to make sure that they have real skin in the game, but they're making a vested interest for the longevity. You know, oftentimes through a lot of what's going on, you see it kind of being a flash in the pan. But for us, this is something that we've kind of committed our lives to. This is what we find our purpose in. And there are so many businesses that not only now are going to need it, but for the next 15 and 20 years, they're going to need this support. And so from all the partnerships that we established, we try to find ways that they're able to provide resources that can provide sustainability for the businesses that participate. You know, we want to take these good businesses and we want to make them into great businesses. We're excited to have and to showcase the Black businesses from our community that have done an amazing job of launching. And so now how can they continue to expand? How can they continue to become that second and that third business so that we can see, you know, national franchises within the space of our own community? And for us to do that, it's going to really take that corporate support. It's going to take the corporate support that allows them to understand how to scale their business from an operational standpoint, how to scale your business from a financial standpoint, how to scale your business from a marketing standpoint. And so really being able to drive the same resources that they would with that large family owned, you know, corporate chain that's in Houston. How do you take those same, you know, resources and help a more specific demographic industry as well within the industry, I should say as well.
Sure. All right. And then just elaborate just a little bit on this culinary education component, because obviously, you know, there's a culinary school is expensive and working in the restaurant industry is not always very lucrative, at least when you're starting out. So, you know, creating that means of support is so important.
No, absolutely. And so how we're initially planning to roll that out is we're going to be giving out scholarships to students that are in the food and hospitality programs within some of the different HBCUs, but as well as some of just the other culinary programs here around the country. From there, we're also going to try to partner them with different mentors that are in the space that are going to allow them to learn, right? We want them to work smarter and not harder. And I think a way of being able to do that is being able to connect them with amazing mentors that have already gone down the path that they're trying to pursue. So if we can be intentional with the mentorships, I think that is going to be very significant in allowing the next generation to have opportunities and to continue to be creative and quite frankly, to continue to teach us. One thing that we've learned through this project is that no one person can really do this alone. And so it really takes a team and it takes a community. And that's what makes Black Restaurant Week work all around the country is that we go in and we make this a community project. We go in and we check in with the established operators within the community, the elected officials within the community, the super dope food writers such as Eric, when you got to come to our food dinners from day one, you've been holding us down from day one. Got to throw that in there. So you know, we try to make sure that the people that really already have a voice, you know, they see our vision and they see the importance of what we're trying to do, because it's not for us. It's never been about us. It's never been about Black Restaurant Week. We always say, use us, just don't misuse us, because our platform is for everybody.
Yeah, can we just sort of zoom out or maybe shift just slightly from BRW? I mean, what is your assessment kind of the state of Black-owned restaurants in Houston? Because it's funny, I drive past the Breakfast Club all the time. Yeah. And every time there's a line. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's all the way down to Main Street.
It is.
For anyone who's never been there, it's like a city block of people, you know, masked up and lined up waiting for catfish and grits and wings and waffles.
Yep.
And, you know, I know Chris Williams and Chef Don Burrell just partnered up. They're going to open a new place in Midtown. Turkey Leg Hut is famous, you know, like world famous at this point.
Yes.
Harden just opened 13. So I guess from my sort of outsider perspective, it seems like the state of Black-owned restaurants is pretty strong. And I just kind of wanted your take on how that community is doing and kind of how you see it shaping up in the next couple of years.
It's really strong. It's as strong as it's been since we started the campaign. And we're really excited to see the Houston scene continue to grow on an international level. I think you said it, Turkey Leg Hut is known all over the country, all over the world. And I think a lot of that has been a byproduct of kind of this influencer, kind of quasi-celebrity movement, right, through Instagram and social media that they're making, going to these spots when we're coming to Houston, because, to you know, be quite frank, Houston was open, right? A lot of the social scenes in Houston were open. So Houston, even through the pandemic, was one of the cities that a lot of people that are very social media heavy was a destination. And so as they were coming to Houston, they're always taking photos of the places that they're eating as they were coming to Houston. And so I think that caused a little bit of momentum, even in terms of the notoriety of Houston as a culinary scene. And so now, as you saw, you know, now when celebrities come in town, they want to go to all these different establishments. But what I love about it is it's not just the turkey leg cuts. They also want to come and get their barbecues of the world. They want to come and get their crawfishes. They know when they come to Houston, they're able to get a dining experience that they can't get anywhere else in the country. It's more diverse from your mom and pop to your fine dining within the Black culinary community, really, than anywhere else in the country.
Well, and right. So as you're sort of, you know, traveling to different cities and interacting with all these different communities, this is kind of a leading question considering we're a Houston-based show, but where does Houston rank for you nationally when it comes to sort of Black-owned restaurants specifically?
We're number one. Let me just say it like that. We are Houston. Houston is number one. I always get I'm always overjoyed right around this time of year when we have an opportunity to showcase Houston. Now, I will say our largest campaign was in New York last year. It was year one in New York, and we had over 100 Black-owned restaurants. So now our goal for this year in Houston is 100. We want Houston again to be one of the largest participants. But when you couple ambiance, when you couple fusion of cuisine styles, when you couple just some of the different creativity, as well as just well-known culinary chefs, like you mentioned, the Chris's of the world, Chef Chris of the world, Chef Don's of the world, Chef Johnny, Chef Shakti, Chef Javon, we go on and on. It's really just a very, very unique community. And this community continues to support each other. I'd also like to add one thing that has been cool through this is seeing all the different cuisine preferences, if you will, or cuisine trends as we move around the country. Like, right, when we go to Los Angeles or really even on the West Coast, we see a huge participation of not only international Jamaican, as well as like Ethiopian restaurants, but we also see a tremendous participation of healthy and vegan-owned establishments. I can't overstate how many Black-owned vegan establishments are in Los Angeles or in Phoenix. It's really, really kind of cool to see how they've kind of taken on to the culture of their cities and the identity of their cities as well.
Yeah, I guess that's not really something I had considered, but there is that kind of tradition of vegan and vegetarianism in the Black community, right? I guess Green Seed would be kind of the one that yep. comes to mind here, or the one in on the East End next to the Thai restaurant whose name I can't think of.
Right. No, we've got some amazing not only restaurants, but like urban frequencies, an amazing Black-owned food truck here locally. And so, Eric, we've tried to make it as simple as possible so we don't have to remember all these amazing establishments. So you can go to our website, blackrestaurantweeks.com. Sorry for the shameless plug. But on there, it functions as a directory where you can filter by your dietary restrictions, right? Or you can filter by your zip code and figure out which Black-owned restaurants are closest to you. You can filter by your delivery apps. And so that's one of the cool platforms that we encourage everybody to take advantage of, not only during Black Restaurant Week, but all year round. You can go to Black Restaurant Weeks and literally go through our directory of restaurants within the Houston area that have participated and figure out your favorite.
All right. Let me just ask you about something else, because it's topical. It's in the news. Obviously, the trial of Derek Chauvin started this week. And, you know, I think we all were inspired by the protests after the killing of George Floyd and Black Lives Matter really asserting itself nationally. How have things sort of changed for you since last summer in terms of the interest in supporting Black-owned businesses, or maybe like people from outside the Black community, like really wanting to show that they're allies with this movement, and you know, patronizing restaurants is such a good way to do that, I think.
It really is. It's always just been one of those things that, hey, you know, food has always been just a safe means of communication and participation. But I think a lot of times this has been access and knowing, you know, where, you know, how can I help? Where can I go to? I've always wanted to try, a Black-owned restaurant but I may not have known, you know, where to look. And so that's really been one of our goals is to be able to create that platform to show folks, you know, this is where you can go. We've been overjoyed and overwhelmed with the support from people from all walks of life that have wanted now more than ever just to have an opportunity to experience and really to understand, you know, what it is for us to kind of live and to go through, you know, go through life as Blacks in America. And that's been one of the biggest things is people just being open to the conversation, open to just saying, you know, there is a difference. I gotta be honest, you know, it's a little different. It's been a little harder for them, you know, and all right, I know it's been harder, but let me actually talk to them and see why it's been harder. Okay, now I see why it's been harder. Well, now what can I do to help and maybe just kind of help even the playing field, just a little bit. And it's so, and it like just y'all, just by just the masses going and supporting Black-owned restaurants, it helps so much. I can't understate how much it helps from a marketing standpoint, how much it helps from a revenue generation standpoint. You know, now we're talking about Chris is opening up a second concept. That's amazing, right? Now we're talking about these amazing food operators opening up multiple concepts within their city. And in the past, that wasn't something that we saw in masses. You know, being able to watch Johnny go from a restaurant now to a grocery store, seeing there being a community of support that allows, you know, the Black creatives within this space to kind of now thrive and to grow. It's been amazing.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate you saying that. And the only other thing I would add is, you know, the West African scene has been blowing up here in Houston.
Huge.
You know, Marcus Samuelson featured them on No Passport Required, and I've been to a couple of Chopping Block meals. And
yes.
And I think, you know, to the extent that might be intimidating, like people are curious, but maybe like they don't know where to go or where to start. You know, my only comment would be, you know, watch the episode, right? get an idea of like a dish or two you want to try, and then just be friendly and say, you know, what do you recommend? Because obviously these restaurants are open and available and welcoming, and you know, a little bit of interest always goes a long way.
Yes, no, you're spot on. So I have to ask you, what has been your favorite new Black-owned restaurant of late?
Ooh, you know, well, it's not new. I will say I got to Lucille's like more in the last year.
Love it.
Than I had in a while. And I had a media preview at 13 that I enjoyed, but I have not had a real dinner there yet. So that is
okay, fair enough.
Very, very much on my list. Oh, you know what was new to me? Because they relocated. I never made it to the original Famous Barbecue.
Yes.
On Post Oak.
Yes.
And then they moved to Sawyer Yards. And I like that restaurant so much for the sausage and the ribs and that crazy barbecue cauliflower. And they're such nice people. All of those things have been really validating.
I'll throw one more on the list. If you get a chance, is try out the Greasy Spoon. They won the Black Plate Award Newcomer of the Year. And so we do a bit of a public participation during Black Restaurant Week, where you can go and where we have the public vote on their favorite restaurant, their favorite chef, their favorite international restaurant. And so that was one of the newcomers of the year, a huge favorite. I think they're already in the plans of expanding as well. Man, that was good, man. I'm really impressed.
Where is the Greasy Spoon?
It's on the north side. Don't quote me exactly where, but it is. I think it's going a little further north. But it's this is the Greasy Spoon Bistro. Got some really good food out on that.
All right. Well, you know, I recently moved to Third Ward, and so I'm still kind of learning my way around the neighborhood and trying to, you know, like I got Frenchie's handled, and now I've got to
gotta
expand a little bit.
See, Frenchie's is going to get you handled. Frenchie's will get you hooked. You know, that's
well, I mean, I've been eating Frenchies for more than 20 years, I would say.
I love it. I love it.
You know, it's just, I gotta get out, you know, now that it's a little more comfortable to get out and try some things. That's my goal for the next couple of months is to, to learn a little more about what's in my neighborhood.
No. Okay, cool. Cool. And would you mind, can I send you a little short list?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
In your neighborhood. Can I do that? That favor?
Yeah. I'm going to make like a badge that said Warren sent me.
Don't do that.
They know that I'm a friend.
No, that's good. No, I love it, man. I love it. No, but again, we definitely just, we want to let, you know, any marginalized business, whether Black owned business, a Latinx business within the city of Houston, know that if they've been affected by the storm, we do have funds and stipends that we are looking to give out to them if their businesses were affected as well.
All right. Well, Warren, I'd say that brings me to the end of my questions. Is there something else you would like to discuss?
No, man, this is amazing. Again, man, just thank you again for your continued support.
Of course.
Over the years, like it's even starting out with having had the establishment of a Houston restaurant, we haven't had that support from Cleverly out the gate, having the support from you, you know, just all those amazing articles. I think it just made people comfortable, just kind of being comfortable, just going and being willing to explore. And that's what we want, you know, people to do is just discover. Look at this as a discovery opportunity. Houston is the most diverse culinary community, I think, in the country, regardless of Black restaurants, just across the board. And so it's just so refreshing that the community has as a whole has just taken to this campaign. So again, April 2nd through the 11th, blackrestaurantweeks.com for all the participants. We appreciate it.
All right. Well, Warren, before I let you go, we have to play the lightning round.
Let's do it.
Five easy questions, five short answers. Just say the first thing that comes to mind. Warren Luckett, what is your favorite thing to order off a soul food lunch counter?
Oxtails.
All right. What is the first band you ever saw in concert?
Concert. Ooh. Band. I don't know. I'm a soul brother. I saw Michael Jackson live.
There you go. Hey, that's a great answer. What is your fast food guilty pleasure? It has to come from a restaurant with a drive-thru.
Fast food guilty pleasure is my chicken strips from Whataburger.
All right. Who is your favorite Houston sports figure, past or present?
Warren Moon.
And then finally, when you go out for pizza, what are your go-to toppings?
Pepperoni and peppers.
Awesome. All right. You gave us the website just a second ago, but give it to us one more time.
It is blackrestaurantweeks.com. Click on Houston, and we can't wait for you all to follow your fork to Houston Black Restaurant Week.
All right. Warren, thank you so much.
Thank you, Eric.
You can follow me on Instagram at Eric Sandler. Keep it locked on culturemap.com for all the latest Houston bar and restaurant news. Thanks so much for listening. I'll be back next week.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.